a man who cheats death every day as he watches soccer because he's so enthralled by it. He's the senior soccer reporter for Sportsnet. We say good morning to John Molinaro, who joins us in the studio. Hey.
Hey, pal. How are you?
I'm great. Yesterday's matches were... the World Cup as a whole, because I think heading into this tournament, Fox was like, oh, good God, the United States isn't in it. you're a gentleman of Italian descent. Oh, the World Cup's not going to be the same without Italy in it. To be honest with you, John, the games have been damn good. It's been entertaining. Are we missing those teams? I know you are, but... Are we really missing those teams? I think that story was maybe played up a little too much heading into this tournament because it's been damn exciting.
I don't think we're missing them at all. And you can throw in Holland as well and Chile,
right?
Because a lot of people were talking about them as well. No, I think you're quite right. It's been a fantastic tournament. We've only had really one dud game, which would have been the Denmark-France from yesterday.
Yeah.
And that's been the only nil-nil. So far, every game has had goals except for that one. It's been entertaining. There's been a few upsets. I don't think anyone saw Mexico beating Germany coming, and some good teams are through and some good teams are out too. And what I really liked about it is that, you know, you see teams like Morocco and Iran and even Peru in the way that they lost, but they played their hearts out and they really sort of made it uncomfortable for a lot of the heavyweights. Like Spain and Portugal really had to fight to get out of that group with Iran and Morocco, where I think most people thought it was going to be a cakewalk. And it wasn't. They really had to scrape by and just get through. So I think it's been a great tournament. Would I like to see Italy there? Sure. But I think it's been a fantastic. It's not, the tournament isn't lesser because they're not there.
We saw Argentina in a must-win escape with a 2-1 win over Nigeria, scoring the goal late in that match to move forward. We saw another VAR decision where Nigeria gets a penalty. I don't know if it was really a penalty. John, obviously I'm biased and I'm jaded because I think the Serbians were hosed on Friday with Mitrovic getting tackled by two Swiss players and they didn't go to video review. How have you gauged so far VAR? Because in my opinion, and like again, I'm super biased and I'm jaded, I think it's been a little uneven because it doesn't feel like some things are penalties and some things aren't. Mm-hmm. And some of the decisions that were made are they're just not right. Like some handball decisions. What's been your take so far of VAR? Because I think it started off the tournament really good, but I think it's kind of getting a little too gray area here, and I don't know what to expect anymore.
I still think it's been a success at this tournament. I think they've gotten the majority of the calls correct. I think one of the things people were worried about is that it would kind of disrupt the flow of the game and that people wouldn't know what's going on. I think they've communicated well exactly what's going on, and the disruption has been minimal. It was never going to be the perfect solution, right? You were still going to have issues where, you know, people would get calls wrong. And it's still, I mean, VAR, it's not robots. We have to remind people. It's still people making the call, right? And people are susceptible to making mistakes. The call yesterday with Nigeria, with the penalty, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I don't think there's probably one or two calls where they got it spectacularly wrong. I think of the handball in the Portugal game against Portugal. That was wrong. The Serbia one that you mentioned, I think it was a penalty as well. I would have given a penalty for that. What you have to keep in mind is, though, it has to be, and this is how VAR works, it has to be a clear and obvious mistake by the referee for the video guys to sort of alert them. Again, I thought it was a clear and obvious penalty. They didn't. So. Yeah. It's all part of interpretation, right?
Because this tournament, it's on pace to smash the penalty kick record.
It already has.
World Cup, right. Yeah. Is that good for the game? Before you answer, just because I don't think there's a penalty in sports, John, where it's more severe. Because scoring chances in soccer are few and far between, but then you get that golden opportunity to score where the shooter has an incredible advantage over the goaltender. It's like, to me, it's the harshest penalty in sports because how the game is played. Is it good for the game that we're seeing these many pens?
Yeah, there's no doubt. It's definitely punitive, giving a penalty. Is it good or bad? I don't know. This is really sort of the first time, as I said, we've seen VAR at a soccer World Cup. They've already smashed the record for a number of penalties in a tournament. So I'd like to see how it plays out the rest of the tournament before commenting. But look, if it leads to correct calls being made and penalty decisions being given, you know, I'm not sure how we can sort of see that as a bad thing. I mean, if it's the correct call, and you have to make it.
He's Sportsnet's senior soccer reporter, John Molinaro, joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show. I'm George. All right, Argentina beats Nigeria 2-1. Lionel Messi opens the scoring with a majestic goal. They hold on, they move forward. I think it's better for the tournament if Argentina is moving forward. What do you like their chances heading into the knockout stage? They have a tough go of it now. They moving forward. Do you like their chances? Can they make some noise here? Or this is just a team that they sink or swim just based on what Messi does in the match?
I'm kind of on the fence about this. I think it's a winnable game against France because I haven't really seen the best of France so far. I'm still trying to figure out what kind of team they are. They really just kind of went through the motions through the group stage and haven't really put together an impressive 90-minute performance yet.
With a team laden with talent.
Exactly, yeah. And just there just seems, I don't know, Didier Deschamps doesn't seem to know what his best starting 11 is and how he wants to play. So you balance that versus, you know, Argentina, who have been, you know, a bit of a train wreck at the end of this tournament, if we're being perfectly honest. They have, much like France, haven't sort of looked all that impressive. Tactically, they're all over the place. I think defensively, there's issues there. Javier Mascherano, the key midfielder, has been, you know, a huge defensive liability, and yet he continues to start. So, I think this team is going to go as far as Messi can carry them. I mean, that's simply the truth. It's not a very talented team. It's a collection of 12 individuals, and I just don't really see them going all that far. They might get by France, but again, I think it'll go as far as Messi can carry them.
A lot of people picked Croatia to potentially be a dark horse in this tournament. They'll play Denmark next in the knockout stage. Is that a team that potentially could make a lot of noise? Because we've seen them come this part of the tournament. When it gets to the knockout stage, I don't know, do they play down their opponents? Do they not live up to the expectations? How do you see Croatia's tournament turning out here?
I think they're one of the favorites. They have to be. I mean, them and Uruguay, I've been so impressed with both of those teams. I don't think nearly enough people are talking about them. Croatia, I would argue, has the best midfield in this tournament with guys like Luka Modric and even Rakitic. And there's just so much quality. And they just go about their way, their business, in a very professional way. And I just, you know, top to bottom, front to back, they're a great side. And same with Uruguay, just so tough to break down. I mean, they haven't conceded a goal yet.
Right.
And that central defensive pairing of Jimenez and Diego Godin, I think, is one of the best in world football. So I would not want to play Uruguay. And I think Portugal is going to have a very tough time of it in the next round against them.
A lot of people like what they've seen out of Mexico, and they play Sweden today. Korea Republic and Germany play the other match. Mexico can win this group against Sweden, and they look really good. They had that upset win. They had a bit of a hiccup. Like, they dominated that game against Korea. But I don't know how do I read this Swedish team, because they conceded that goal against 10-man Germany there, lost a heartbreaker there at the end. It looked like they were going to earn a draw and pretty much put the Germans out of the tournament. How do you gauge Sweden's performance? Because I think they've been sneakily good in this tournament so far.
Yeah, that's kind of their MO. I mean, they just kind of sort of fly under the radar. They're not a particularly flashy team.
Because Zlatan's not there anymore.
Yeah, well, they don't.
That probably why they're playing such a cohesive unit that he's not there?
I think so. I think that has a large reason to do with it. I mean, the guy who's replaced him, Berg, up front, is a different type of forward and just more quiet, but much more, as I said, just goes about his business. They're not a flashy team. They're defensively, they're pretty good, despite, you know, conceding against 10-man Germany. So they'll kind of just go about their business and grind out wins and win very ugly. So, I mean, you know, do I see them going through? Potentially, but it's still, I think, you know, you have to like Mexico's chances right now and Germany as well, having, you know, sort of woken up after that opening loss.
But have Germany completely, because I know it's hard to discount the defending champions, and that roster is just full of stars, and they just haven't looked right so far in this tournament, and we think, are they going to hit the extra gear? But they have to play the crossover group of the Brazil, Serbia, Sweden, and Costa Rica, and who knows what happens today. There could be a potential Brazil-Germany round. Lots of things would have to happen for that to happen, but can Germany hit that extra gear here in the knockout stage? Because they just haven't looked impressive so far, and I think we're just waiting for that to happen, kind of like France, but they're the defending champs. We know they have all this talent. Can they just hit that gear? Do you anticipate them to hit that gear?
I think so. I mean, obviously we'll have to wait and see, but I mean, I didn't think they played all that badly against Sweden. I think they were, you know, the better side, to be perfectly honest, especially in that second half. They were even down a man. Obviously they had to pour it on because, and they had to go for it because they were staring elimination in the face. But I was really impressed how they managed the game down a man. I just think they have just too much talent and too much quality to bow out and not go on a run in this tournament. I have to think, too, that they're going to sort of, as I said, that Mexico game was a bit of a wake-up call, and that they're not going to play down to their opponents anymore. Because I think that was not all of it, but I think that was a somewhat of what was going on against Mexico. I don't think they expected to be given that hard of a time, and they paid for it.
Now, you talk about a team that potentially plays down to their opponents. I think it's safe to say Brazil's kind of done that this tournament.
Yeah.
They tied Switzerland in their opener, and they needed two goals in second half stoppage time to beat Costa Rica 2-0. That extra goal by Neymar might pay huge dividends here, how this group is going to shake out. But how have the Brazilians looked to you? Because we heard heading into this tournament that finally that this team is a lot more organized, and they're playing more of a team, and they're not just relying on Neymar anymore. I just can't gauge Brazil's performance so far, because to me, John, they've looked disjointed through two matches.
Yeah, they've labored. There's no doubt. I mean, I get the Switzerland game was really interesting because I think the Swiss took a really physical approach and they really kind of banged and battered them. And I think Neymar was particularly frustrated because he was, you know, the large recipient of that. But again, I mean, much like Brazil, I just think they have too much quality and class to not sort of prevail. And, you know, that's often the key sort of, you know, feature of a team is to win ugly and to win even when they're not playing all that well. They clearly haven't hit their top form. I don't think Neymar is any close to, you know, being playing top form. He's been injured since February, since he tore his ACL. So that's to be expected. But I think this team is just too good to not go on a run here. So, you know, I expect that they're going to put a bit of a marker down against Serbia.
We touched on Lionel Messi and the amount of pressure that's on that guy in Argentina. But if Brazil go down a goal here, John, they're fresh off getting shellacked 7-1 at home in the World Cup. And so far they've had two unimpressive results. I'm sure the fire is on, the heat is on Brazil. If they go down 1-0 here to Serbia, how much pressure is going to mount? Because I see a guy like Neymar weeping after a group stage win over Costa Rica, which I'm just shaking my head at. I'm like, Neymar, it's only Costa Rica. It's a group stage match. Control the emotions right now. Right. How much pressure is on this Brazilian side to make what happened 4 years ago right?
Oh, massive. Massive. I mean, I can, you know, when they sort of lost in 1950 to Uruguay in Rio in the final of the World Cup, I mean, they still talk about that today. So you can imagine what, you know, the loss 4 years ago, the 7-1 shellacking means. So this would be huge. I mean, going out in the first round, which hasn't happened, which I can't even remember when the last time Brazil went out. I guess it would have been, you know, the 60s, maybe 1966. Absolutely huge, especially in the aftermath of what happened 4 years ago, because, you know, that was a shellacking that they absolutely suffered. It was one of the most shocking results. There's no shame in losing to Brazil or to Germany.
But
to lose that way on your home soil,
right?
You know, these are the spiritual caretakers of the world game. And to lose like that in such an embarrassing fashion, you know, it was just a national day of mourning. And I think this World Cup is about setting it right and about reminding everyone that, hey, you know, we're still the five-time champions. We're still, you know, better than everyone else. So, yeah, a loss or going down early would put immense pressure on the Brazilians.